Speak about, preach about Romans 5, 3 through 5. Amazing full passage from God's Word. What a privilege to be able to study God's Word, to think about it. I have been convinced lately that there are two kinds of people in the world, in God's economy. Psalm chapter 1 says that there are the wicked, and the wicked are not necessarily people who are bad, mean, but the wicked in the Bible are people that have no ears for God's truth, period. They just, they're not listening to what God has to say in His Word. And then, but it says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So he's the kind of person that has ears to hear God's truth. And then it says, he will be like a tree planted beside rivers of water, producing fruit in its season. So we get a chance to look into God's Word, even if it's just a little portion this morning. So, let's talk about Romans chapter 5. Some of you are breaking into the middle of this. We've already been through Romans 1 through 4, of course. But Paul begins in chapter 5, verse 3, and says, and not only this, well, that means not only what? Well, not only from where we were last week do we have, being justified by faith in God's sight, do we have peace with God, peace in our relationship with God, a new, we're not at war kind of relationship with God through Christ, through faith in Christ. And also we have access to God in prayer. We have peace with God. We have access to the throne of God in prayer. There's no dividing wall between us and God. And then finally, we have expectant hope. We have hope of the glory of God. You know what that means ultimately? It means that ultimately we will experience glorification, full salvation. One day, all of these human bodies that we travel around in are going to be glorified. And that just means there's going to be a change. There's going to be a transformation, a resurrection day when that will all happen. So we have a lot to look forward to, and that's where we were last Sunday. But today it says, and not only this, not only do we have peace and access and expectant hope, but there's also now a chain of events that we will be able to look at this morning. And we will see that. And it has to do with those times in our lives when we experience tribulation or affliction. And I want to just say up front, I think clearly that God is not necessarily talking about the affliction of arthritis or the affliction of a broken leg or the afflictions that come to us, to our physical bodies, although those are for sure painful and sometimes quite a trial. Some of you know those who are in the hospital right now struggling with afflictions from their bodies hurting. But I think Paul here is making it really clear because he was writing to the church in Rome where there was persecution for the faith. And so he's going to be talking about affliction that comes from for the sake of righteousness. Affliction or persecution, tribulation for the sake of righteousness. In fact, it's what Jesus taught, isn't it? Jesus taught that we can be promised affliction in this life. I don't know if you like that or not. I mean, that's not a real exciting term to me, that Jesus said you're going to find tribulation in your life. I don't get too excited about tribulation or persecution. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, It says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when, not if, but when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus said that there's going to be a kind of persecution, a kind of tribulation that you can expect. And he says, blessed are you when... Yeah, and you'd have to struggle to find the blessing sometimes in it immediately. But Jesus said, blessed are you who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And then where Garrett read this morning in James chapter 1, and I remember memorizing this scripture long, long time ago when I was in college. Believe it or not, I can still remember it, and I can probably still quote it. So memorizing scripture is a good thing. But James wrote, consider it all joy, consider it all joy, my brethren, when, not if, you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Wow. James kind of says the same thing, doesn't he? Consider it all joy when you run into trials and tribulations for the sake of righteousness, because it will have an effect in your life. Here's a quote that I listed here. One of the less attractive promises that Scripture gives believers is that those who are faithful, listen to me, those who are faithful can be certain of being under pressure from Satan and from the present world system that is under his control. You know that? We can be living in a way that pleases God, faithfully living out our faith, and we can then experience the pressure that comes from Satan directly or from the world system that is under his control. So Christians have no reason to despair in this present life, no matter how great their suffering may be or how hopeless their plight may appear from the human perspective. We should always be able to say with Paul, with Paul's unreserved confidence, these words. I hope you can say them. We'll get to Romans 5 in just a second, but Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Can you say that with confidence? I am considering that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be in the future be revealed to us. Here's one more verse before we get into Romans. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm making a case that we can expect tribulation and persecution. That's all. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. So that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. The Bible says we have been destined for affliction and tribulation. Now we should go home and watch the rest of the ball game, right? No, we have been destined for affliction. As believers in Christ, if we live faithfully, if we live in accordance with His truth, if we live in a way that He wants us to live, we will experience tribulation, we will experience hardship and pressure. So, what is this pressure? Well, the Bible calls it tribulation. Okay? So let's go back to Romans chapter 5, and we'll just look at this for just a few minutes. Romans 5:3, it says, "And not only this, but we also exult." We exult. Paul was able to say, we exult in our tribulations. We exult in our tribulations, knowing some things. Tribulations are real. And I don't know if any of you squeezed apples this fall. Did any of you do that? Did you? Yeah. And I haven't seen 1 gallon. No one has come to me and shared the wealth with me. Not one. But anyway, tribulation. No, but the idea of tribulation is really that idea of what happens to an apple or apples in the press. It really is the word pressure, squeezing, hardship. So Paul is saying here, tribulation is to be expected, and tribulation really carries with it the idea of squeezing or pressure. And it can be the same as grapes being squeezed so that the juice comes out. And so believers experience that kind of pressure. Do you know that? I mean, I am in contact. I've just been in contact with a man in Kathmandu, Nepal, and he talks about a vision that God has given him after coming to faith in Christ out of a strict Hindu background. And when he came to faith in Christ after reading John 3:16 and then starting to go to church because a friend invited him and committing his life to Christ, and the first enemy, and I don't mean enemy in a total way, but his enemy spiritually was his father, who was very strict Hindu. And he began to experience this from his father because of his faith in Christ. That's tribulation. That's what we're talking about here. It's not tribulation of a medical affliction, but it's that kind of tribulation. When we were in Nepal, we met a man. I can't remember his name now, but he had had his knees broken because of his faithfulness in communicating the gospel of Christ in a Hindu country. And fearless, relentless in his proclamation of the gospel in a place that ended up getting his knees broken and beaten. And some of you may at some point want to read. There's 2 or 3 books that I've read and passed on. It's from a man named Tom Doyle, and he talks about what it's like in some of the Middle Eastern countries. I noticed that Sarah's here. She could probably tell us more about it. But just what believers in Christ are experiencing as far as tribulation and squeezing and death and some of the hardships that come along with following Christ faithfully. So there's a lot of it in the world. I could go on and on with different examples. But Paul is saying when it comes to this kind of tribulation that it is not all bad. It is not the end. God uses tribulation to produce some good things. The squeezing of the apples produces cider. The squeezing of the grapes produces juice. And so what Paul is saying here is that the tribulation that believers experience, and frankly, I think we're living in a day when we will see it, and I'm not just saying this. I believe we will see more and more of it. that we here in our nation will experience more and more of this kind of tribulation and squeezing. It's already here. But Paul tells us, verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult, we rejoice in our tribulation, knowing something. And here's the chain. If I had a chain, I would say tribulation can produce something really good. And you know what it is? It's called perseverance. Tribulation, difficulty with someone at work who doesn't like you because you're a Christian, because you bring a Bible to school, because you are living a godly life sometimes, who hate you because they really hate God, ultimately, that tribulation produces something called perseverance. Perseverance is a simple, the simple word is to remain under. It means staying with it. It means not quitting, not giving up, not in frustration or in defeat, giving up. To persevere literally means here's the pressure, here's the difficulty, here's the person at work, here's the person around me that doesn't like me because I love Christ and because I want to live for Him and because I'm telling people about the Lord and I have a ministry, and here's the pressure on me, and that's real, by the way. That's not just fictitious. That happens. But to perseverance means to remain underneath of that. To persevere means to stay under it. And that's what normally happens when somebody comes against us. Our immediate reaction is relief and go away and quit the job and move away from that neighbor, whatever it is. And God says perseverance is to remain under. It's hupomone. It means to not quit. And if we do not quit, if we remain under it, God in His mercy and timing can bring still more. So this is not a precise fit, but if all you take out of this video clip that Josh is going to show you right now, it is don't quit. And since we're in the middle of football season, we're going to watch this famous clip. It's one of the most famous from Facing the Giants. But if you take nothing...
Who's Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. I get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does.
There you go. Jeremy, good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength.
Yeah,
That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm not at the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. Now, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just rest in a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. You not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
Burn.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. So will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach,
can I count on you?
Yes.
What is it, Jeremy?
I want a 160.
Next week is a live demonstration. What? Well, I'm a little more than 160, let me put it that way. Yeah, I bet he will too. Let's try that. So, James said, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." But it says, "And let..." That's all this is saying. Let endurance, let perseverance have its perfect result. Let perseverance have its perfect result. And I think that's what Paul is saying here in chapter 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. It's an opportunity to persevere when we're in the midst of difficulty because of our faith. And I really do not feel adequate or, there are believers in Christ around the world today that I would feel so small and ashamed compared to what they're going through for their faith. I mean, I really would. What believers face every single day because of the situation in which they live. And perseverance, out of perseverance comes proven character. It means approvedness with God. In other words, the tribulation or affliction that we face as believers is like gold being refined in fire that produces purified gold. That's exactly what that means. Proven, purified character. So in order for that to happen, there must be first the tribulation. There must secondly be the perseverance in it, if it's going to produce, if the squeezing, if the pressure, if the difficulty is going to have the effect that God says it will, then you have to stay under it. You have to not quit. But then finally, perseverance does produce proven character. Everything okay? Okay. Good. Proven character. And then finally, it says that proven character produces hope. Produces hope or expectant confidence for the future. So there's the present proven character in the midst of my difficulties. I get in it and through it, and God says, well done at how you've stuck with it and you've allowed this trial to shape and mold and purge and get rid of the evil, get rid of the bad in our life, and produce something good and proven. And it produces hope. And then, how is this? How is this process, how does it work? Verse 4 says, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, ever. Hope does not disappoint us, because there's one more thing that is absolutely, absolutely true. I mean, this video, I love this segment on the video. I suppose you could say it's just about, being tenacious and digging deep and giving it all you can in your human strength and your human flesh. But Paul did not believe that. Paul believed that the way that we can do this and see it happen in our life is through the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. That's the only way that this process can happen. And the Bible tells us that God has, every believer has been invaded and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I really think that we should enjoy and review the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. A.W. Tozer said this: we may as well face it, the whole level of spirituality among us is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateaus in the things of the Spirit is all but gone. We have imitated the world, sought popular favor, manufactured delights to substitute for the joy of the Lord and produce a cheap and synthetic power to substitute for the power of the Holy Ghost, for the power of the Spirit of God in the believer. And Paul is saying that when we face tribulation, the only hope we have, the only hope, the hope that God has given us is through the indwelling Spirit of God. It says, if any man does not have the Spirit of God, he is none of his. He doesn't belong to him. So that means that if you are a believer in Christ, the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you and to live in you. Here's one more quote. It says, what does the Spirit do? What does the Spirit do? His works are ineffable. This is old English, so bear with me, but it says, His works are ineffable in majesty and innumerable in quantity. How can we ever ponder what extends beyond the ages? What did He do before creation began? How great are the graces He showered on creation? What power will He wield in the age to come? He existed. He pre-existed. He coexisted with the Father and the Son before the ages. Even if you can imagine anything beyond the ages, you will discover that the Spirit is even further beyond. He is co-eternal, co-existent, and co-eternal with the Father. And God has put His Holy Spirit within us so that this process can happen in us. We can experience perseverance, and we can experience proven character. The character that only comes through trials in our life. It only comes through difficulties in sharing our faith with others. It comes through experiencing opposition to our faith and persevering in that. So the bottom line here is that God has given us the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Anybody want to venture some thoughts about who is the Holy Spirit? Who do we know Him to be? What's true of Him? Quickly. He's a comforter, helper, pardon? He intercedes for us, teacher, convicts us of sin, right? Discerner, counselor, savior. We're just scratching the surface, my friends. Here's some truths that I found in this book by Francis Chan. He says, first, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. I won't go into details. Number two, the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He's not a thing. He's not a emotion. He's not a wind. He is God. Number three, He is eternal and holy. The Holy Spirit has His own mind and prays for us. We kind of mentioned that already. The Spirit has emotions. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by our actions, right? The Holy Spirit has His own desires and will. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. He is omnipresent, and He is omniscient, and we could prove that by very many scriptures. And the truth is, the Holy Spirit comes to live in His people. He comes to live in you. He comes to dwell in you. He takes up residence in you. Is that clear? I don't know what you're going through, but I believe in the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in His children in the midst of tribulation and affliction. And He is the one, if we stay underneath of it and allow Him to work, that will produce that which is glorifying to God, proven character, approvedness before God, and we will have great hope because we've seen God get us through. We have seen God work in a powerful way. So, let's just look at the finish of this chapter. And it says, and hope, which is the product of the Holy Spirit, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I'm just going to tell you this, if we don't understand the love of God, God did not stand up in heaven and say, well, here's a little bottle of love, and there's somebody. Kyle. Kyle, I can always pick Kyle. But, you know, he didn't take a little bottle with love and dip the upper in there and say, well, I'm going to give Kyle a couple of drops of my love. And I'm going to give Mary two or three drops of love. And I'm going to give, and I can go all the way through this room and say, that's not what God's love is like. And if there's anything that you feel in the midst of affliction and difficulty and tribulation, you need to know that God, it's not a dropper full of a few drops. But look what it says. It says, what? And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out. The love of God has been poured out. It's different than a dropper full. It has been lavished. It has been poured out on you. It has been poured out fully upon you. And I believe that God in eternity past saw the desperate need of sinners whose ears were closed to the gospel, closed to the things of God. Sinners who were lost, sinners who were wicked in Psalm 1 wording. And yet God, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can never get over the fact that God expressed His love. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His lavish love, His own love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died in our place. Christ was the substitute. Christ was the Lamb of God that through His shed blood provided forgiveness of sin. We'll get there. Do you believe that God loves you? Son of God, daughter of God. The Bible says He doesn't just love you a little bit. He loves you with the full measure. It says the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. I can only think of Paul. When I think of this passage, when he's talking about tribulation, and of course he doesn't compare to the tribulation that Jesus went through, the suffering that Jesus went through, the mocking and the arrests and the trials and the scourging and the crucifixion and all that he went for us. That's sort of a category of its own. But when I think of the Apostle Paul, and we've been through the whole book of Acts, and I have seen what Paul went through for the sake of Christ, and the tribulations that he experienced, and the struggles that he experienced, and the stonings, and the opposition to the gospel, and everything that was telling him to stop and go home and do something else. And he persevered, and he continued, and he did what God called him to do. And he did not quit. And you know the list of things that Paul experienced in for the sake of Christ. But I believe that God demonstrated in Paul proven character. Pure, he was a purified man through the tribulation that he experienced. And I don't know. I just feel like through the book of Acts and now in Romans, my estimation of the Apostle Paul is way, way different than it used to be. So he's a man. He wasn't perfect at all, but he gave us an example to follow. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And he suffered for the sake of Christ. And, yep. And he's the one that teaches us about the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen? Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for the resources that you give us as your children. Father, thank you that you don't leave us to suffer. When we follow you, when we obey you, when we do what you told us to do, and we find opposition and we find people saying things about us, against us, you don't just leave us on our own, but you, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, comfort us. You remind us of your love for us. You help us to persevere and to stay under, to remain under the pressure. And then you bring forth our difficulties like gold, like the refiner's fire produces pure gold. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord. We know that His job is to glorify Christ, point to Christ, our Savior. But, Lord, thank you for the reality of the Holy Spirit who has been given to every child of God. We believe it, Lord. We believe that that's true. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to work on us and in us through your Spirit. And we love you, God. Thank you for those saints around us who are models of perseverance to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We're going to close with a song, our gospel song. So if you'd stand up, that would be great. And we will sing a reminder of the love of God.